This week, my sermon is called Knowing the Unknowable. Knowing the Unknowable. And if you have your Bible apps or your paper Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 3. That's where I will be preaching from, Ephesians chapter 3. And I have a question for you. When you were in school, or perhaps when you went to work, or when you were trying to do a chore at home, and you had to learn something new, did you ever feel like, I will never learn how to do this? And you tried hard, and well, nowadays we can look at YouTube videos or, you know, those crazy IKEA drawings that you know, somehow the pictures in the paper and what you end up with at home sometimes looks different. Or when you were learning to drive, perhaps, or when you were learning to use your new phone or a new computer. This is the challenge that we have in learning something. Another question I think I would have for you is, do you yourself, or are there other people that maybe consider you an expert in a particular field or in a particular area that they're like, oh, you have questions about that? This is the person you need to talk to. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're really good at social media or photography or mechanics or accounting or Microsoft Word or something. But this desire to be good at something. And again, it's the idea of knowing something that maybe once you've mastered that, you're good. But there are some things that I think no matter how long we study them for, how much we go to school for, you are never going to say, okay, I know everything there is to be learned about this particular subject. And that brings us to our text today in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read the last portion of 17 on to 19, but really you have to look at 14 to 19 to kind of get a real good grasp of what he is saying. I'll let you do that. In the Greek, that is one single sentence. And then verse 20, which has this amazing conclusion. But Paul, writing to this church in a city called Ephesus, says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, or the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. There it is, that you may know this love that surpasses knowledge. He's asking you and I and his original readers to learn something, to experience something that he is saying is beyond fully knowing. I like the way the message puts it, parts of this scripture. He says, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depth. Rise to the heights. What a great picture. The extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you this long weekend Sunday as we have sang, well, not sang, we have worshiped without words, with the orientation of our heart in full submission and celebrating you and your goodness and your love and your grace and your mercy. As we have done that, as we have rejoiced in people following you in obedience through the waters of baptism, as we now open your word, would you speak to us? Would you inspire us? Would you challenge us? We pray in your precious name. Amen. So I think there are a few things that we learn. One thing we learn is that some things can only be known in the context of love. Speaking of life, speaking of the church, speaking of being a Christian, he talks right off the bat. It says that you being rooted and established. It's an interesting, he uses a couple of metaphors, and one of them is of a tree that sinks its roots deep, deep, deep down, so that when the winds come and when the waters come and when anything that happens, that tree may sway, but it stays in its place. Some of you know that, of course, I was in the Bahamas a week or so after the hurricane last year. And to discover how high the water had been through most of the island of Grand Bahamas and the other islands, and yet the palm trees remain standing. Despite the hurricane force winds, despite the rain, and despite the wave that came in, they remain. Why? Because the roots had gone deep. And this is one analogy that Paul uses. The other one is the NIV says to be established. It's the idea of having a foundation. It's like a building term. To have a foundation that is so solid, it kind of reminds us of something Jesus said, that if you build your house on the rock, that foundation is very, very stable. I love biking through the Edmonton River Valley, and I can tell you there are some beautiful homes on the edge of the river valley that as the erosion starts to affect, I don't know how much longer they'll be standing because they will eventually fall off. And what Paul is telling his friends in the city of Ephesus is, don't let that happen to you. Put your house, build your life, your faith life on a solid foundation of love. Those are two really important things we need to keep in mind. And so there are some things that can only be known in the context of love, in this foundation, in these roots being rooted, established, firmly founded on love. That is something we need to remember. A second thing, there are some things that can only be known in the context of community, in the context of a word that it makes sense to those in the church. It doesn't always make sense to people outside the church. Fellowship. Fellowship. It's a sense of having a sense of belonging, a sense of oneness, a sense of we are part of each other. One of the analogies that Paul also uses is that of a body. And he says, if one part hurts, the other ones hurt as well. And in the same way, Paul is making a case to this particular church that church unity and church life and church dynamics are so important, that there's something about the depth of the love of God for you and for me that can only be known in community. That's why the people that says, well, I'm a Christian, I just don't go to church. Or I love Jesus, but I don't want anything to do with the church. They are missing so much. They are missing so much that can only be gained in community. We need to remember that. Other thing we need to remember is that God's love is multidimensional. Multidimensional. It is so, so, so amazing, so great that I think Paul is writing and he's like, how do I express this depth of love, this great love of Christ for us as individuals? Yes, but for us as a community of Christians. Because you will remember that Christ, he goes on to say, this is speaking about marriage later on in this same book in chapter 6. He says that marriage is only a picture of something so much greater. And that is the relationship between Christ and the church. And in that passage, we are told that Christ gave his life not for individual Christians, but for the church, for the community of believers. So we need to remember this amazing love that is multidimensional. And Paul is thinking, how do I communicate this? How do I tell them of this great love? And he thinks, well, there's a length, and there's width, there's height, there's depth, there's this so much more. That's so much than just what we may think it is. More than we have experienced, more than what we can imagine. That's what he'll mention in verse 20. And we often use it in the context of God answering prayer and God doing things in and for us. And there's truth to that. But the primary context of that is that when we, as his followers, but we primarily as his community of believers, the church, when we ask him to help us experience this love that is beyond knowing, that God will do exceedingly more than we can ask or imagine. How many of you, if you're online, if you're here, how many of you have been married for, say, 20 years or more? All right, more than 20 years, more than a week. Those of you who have been married more than 20 years, how many of you would say, when we got married, I thought I loved her. I thought I loved him. But 20 years later, I discovered that there's so much more to loving. How many of you would say, I love my spouse more than I did the day I married them? Most of us would say that. Because we learn something in the process. Because living together and going through life together and celebrating victories and sharing pains and defeats of life opens the door to a dimension of love that we didn't know existed before. So you've got lots to look forward to. But yes, the love of God is so multidimensional. It is more than we could imagine by ourselves. And number four, this multidimensional love can only be fully known in the context of community, in the context of the church. We need to remember that. There's so much we can know about this love and experience this love personally, but it's nothing compared to what we can experience and know in community. This is why the idea of the church, of a group that are called out, ecclesia, to be brought out of something into something new, a new identity, a new group, a new family, a new nation. This is what we are called. This is who we are to be. There is something about the Christian faith and about the love of God that can only really be experienced in community. Yes, where people rub you the wrong way. Yes, where people don't always agree with you. Yes, when people do things that you think, what were they thinking? Or when we do those things. Where a community, a place where, as the Old Testament in Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron. Those of us who have been married for some time will realize that the simple act of being married to somebody we loved and loved us helped us become better persons, better Christians, more mature. And in the same way, we do that in the church. And again, some of that development and some growth that happens in marriage is not when everything is going great. It's when things start to fall off the wagon. That's when you realize, oh, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe she said that. And yet you choose to love. And that happens also in the church. So again, this extravagant dimensions, he uses the word of it being wide and long and high and deep. And by putting the word how high, how long, how wide, how deep is Paul's way of saying, I don't actually know how high, how wide, how long, how deep it is, but I know it is, and I know I've known it, I've experienced it to a certain point, but there's so much more to it. That's why we need each other. And the paradox, the apparent contradiction, the tension happens when he says to know this love that surpasses knowledge. To know this love that surpasses knowledge. What I think it's telling us, that a lifetime of knowing Jesus is not nearly enough to fully experience and understand his love. As I was preparing for this, I was reading commentaries, and one of the writers says, a quadrillion years. That's a lot of years. DJ, you might know how many zeros that would have to have. Because there's million, billions, trillions, quadrillions. And he says, a quadrillion years will only be but the introduction to knowing Jesus. You know, and his love. And when we sing, when we've been there 10,000 years. Well, 10,000 years is nothing to get in to know him. It's like when people come into your house and they're still at the door taking their coats off. You haven't even shaken hands. You haven't given a hug. You haven't even hung the coat on the closet. That is how amazing the love of God is. And we will never have enough time in all of eternity to know that love in its full dimensions. That's why, even though it surpasses knowledge, it's beyond understanding, we should give ourselves for our entire lives here on earth to knowing and experiencing this love. See, the goal of knowing this love is to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now imagine a shot glass. Okay, I don't know, how much is a shot? An ounce? Nobody wants to admit they know how much it is. Imagine if you have a shot glass and you're like, fill me up. Well, that's not very much. If you have a 12-ounce glass, fill me up. That will take more. If you got a 4-liter jug, fill me up. There's more. If you got a 55-gallon barrel, fill me up. That can take more. And part of the benefit of experiencing and knowing the love of God in community is that it expands our capacity to know the love of God. And I wonder how many times we're like, Lord, I want more of you. And it's like, all you have is a shot glass. Like, I can't give you more. I've given you all you can handle. But as we grow in relationship with each other, in loving each other, as we share our stories, as we begin to share, and I understand how Geraldine has experienced and knows the love of God, then my life is enriched because she has experienced his love in ways I never have. And we do that with Glenn and with Nicole and with Jordan and with Sven and all of us. And so that's how our capacity is enlarged, by sharing life together, having this concept of fellowship, or the word that the Greek word that sometimes we even use, koinonia. It's such a difficult word that it's so hard to even explain. But that is the goal, is to be filled to the full measure of God. And it's not that we have all of God in us, but that we have as much of God as we can have the capacity to have. But there's ways to make that grow. Here's what Tony Evans says. Your individual experience of God are limited. You need to be part of the family of God and learn how God works in the lives of others to see how truly great he is. You see, this gives us a window into why even the concept of a home church, or we're going to have church at home, as good as that is, and you should have your devotions, you should have all of those things at home, there's nothing beats, nothing surpasses, nothing is better than when a group of believers gathers. And I know right now, under these circumstances, it's kind of hard, but we still can do that. Just, you know, mind the measures that are in place so that we can ensure each other's health. It's a way to love each other. But we can get to know one another. And we can encourage one another. And in that way, really get a better picture of how great God is. So here's, I think, 3 ways that we can know this love that is beyond knowledge, beyond understanding. One is intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. The more intimate of a relationship you have with him, the more time you spend with him, the more you get into his word, the more you worship, the more you do all of the things he calls us to do and to be the things he calls us to be, then this relationship with God is deeper and deeper and deeper and more intimate. I love it. I love it when in the Old Testament, God refers to Abraham as my friend Abraham. Isn't that a great picture? Then God, the maker of heaven and earth, will refer to a mere human being as a friend. And of course, in the New Testament, we have Jesus says to his disciples, I won't call you servants anymore. I will call you friends. Because that is what you really are. In fact, he goes on to say that anybody that follows him, accepts him, becomes his family. Not just friends, but family. What a great thing. A second way in which we can experience in deeper ways this love is through obedience to Christ. Jesus said it very simply. This is how you know that you love me, if you obey my commandments. It's pretty simple, isn't it? He could have given us another 10 commandments or said, do the old 10 commandments, or here's 25 commandments, or here's 3 commandments. But at the end of the day, he says, your love for me is evidenced through obeying what I've asked you to do. That's all. Pretty simple, isn't it? And hard, of course, to do. But this is another way in which we can have a greater experience and knowing of this love that is beyond knowing, beyond, it surpasses knowledge. And the third one is church fellowship. Church fellowship. Again, I hesitate to use the word fellowship because many people may not understand. But that is the sharing of life, the sharing of our who we are, what we're going through. And yes, sharing what the Lord has blessed us with and given to us. Of having something so deep in common that in fact in the New Testament, the primary sense of family is not our biological family, but the family of God. That actually, in the New Testament, supersedes family. That's why Jesus says that if you can't leave family, mother and father, and brother and sister, to follow me, then you're not worthy of following me. You're not prepared to really be part of my community. And so this is the way, again, of how we know each other. Again, I understand that sometimes we drive each other crazy. And I know that we do things we shouldn't do. And we say things we shouldn't say. And we're not also the nicest people to each other. And we don't even believe the same thing sometimes. But even in those moments, we can love each other with the love that God has loved us. That's the only way it's possible to experience this. I close with this conclusion from, again, another a commentator, William Klein. Not only must love work itself out only in the context of the body, that is the church, it can only be understood there. Love cannot be grasped in isolation from each member of the body of Christ. We need to remember that. Next time you run into someone that says, oh, you know, I just worship in my own house. I don't mean right now during COVID because that's happening a lot and people are joining on live streams and so on. But just as a general rule, oh, I can't stand the church, but I love God. You know, you can kindly tell them, I feel so bad, so sorry for you because there's so much more to God's love that you will never understand staying on your own. Thank you. Dear Jesus, that you loved us as a church so much that you gave your life for us so that we could know the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of your love for us. And even though this love is beyond something we will ever understand fully, by being part of the church, of a group of believers and sharing everything in common, then we will know it in much, much deeper ways than we ever could by ourselves. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.